This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
Hey everybody, it's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello, and welcome to show number 375 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, this is Jimmy this week, and I think we have a great show lined up for you. It's a lot of fun. I hope you all enjoy, and I have a few great co-hosts with me this week, and let me get them introduced. Sam, how's it going, buddy?
What's up, Jimmy? How's it going, my man?
I am fantastic, my friend. Missing Disney and ready to get back down there.
You just got back. You're missing Disney.
That's post-Disney depression, man. You know how that goes.
I do.
And also with us this week is Morgan. Hello, Morgan.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
I know Morgan's itching for a trip. I was talking to her on the phone earlier, and we were like, well, maybe I could make it down in February. And Morgan's like, maybe I could talk to Mom. We might be able to meet you. And I'm like...
Everyone maybe listening to us is just itching for a trip, by the way.
Yeah, I can maybe I can use Mom for finance the trip for me.
Financial support.
Yeah, financial support. I mean, she'll have fun too. Well, you know, I don't want to sound like a mean daughter, but you know.
Put a good word in for me too.
Well, now just so you know, I did already talk to Mom. She'll go if Jimmy will fund it.
I bet she would. Sam will go if I fund it too. And last but certainly not least in my book, Ed, how's it going, my friend?
Doing well, Jimmy. And that's going around. I'm getting trips ready, too, for May and June, depending on how everything shakes out with our quarantine rules. So
fingers crossed, rubbing the rabbit's foot, doing all the good luck stuff.
Yeah, and now that Jimmy's funding the trip for all of us, we're definitely up for it.
Yeah.
What do you have to lose at this point?
I mean, if he's funding, I'm saying, you know, Boardwalk Yacht Club, where are we going to stay at?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Okay. And some things are opening up, too. We heard that the Festival of the Lion King might be open this summer. That'll be awesome.
Looks like it's coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot also, of the live events.
I'm going to give a shout out to our page, the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com, and the blog over there, because one of our bloggers, Veronica, is at Yacht Club right now. She's been in the parks live streaming on her channel, and looks like a lot of fun. Wish I was there.
Don't we all? Okay, guys. Well, for tonight's show, what we're going to be doing is, and actually this came about for me tooling around on the internet the other day, wasting time. One of my favorite places to go, and this is going back for, 15 years now, to plan a trip, I always go to touringplans.com. They're one of our sponsors, but even before they were a sponsor, even before I had this podcast or even thought about podcasting, I was using touringplans.com because it was such a great resource. What about you guys?
I'm a old school WDW Today fan. So I was listening to Lynn Testa on that back.
That's where I found out about it.
And I'm the same way. I use it. And it's gotten better and better with things like the hotel room views and faxing over your room requests and stuff like that. But even back in, 2006, 2007, I paid for the subscription every year because I used the crowd calendar to plan our days every trip.
Yep.
Absolutely. And in fact, if you really look at it, Disney clearly leverages the posted wait times to manipulate people in what they do or don't get in line for. Touring Pans tells you what's going on, based on real data from real people that got in line. That's the difference. So if a sign's posted and it says some wait time, you really want to know what it is, the line zaps it. Because likely somebody was in that line not that far in front of you and tell you exactly how long it took for them to get through it. So
and, sure. they, and they get a lot of their information from historical data.
Sure.
And they get a pretty good idea. But then you're right. Even on top of that, they have the people that on the Lines app. You once you're signed in, you can time yourself from the time you get in line, and you can stop it, and you submit it, and it takes all that information to account too.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So you can be part of the whole solution. It's great. Now, there's two different sides to the touring plans. We have the website to help you plan your trips, and then the app was created to then tie that into the parks while you're there. On top of that, and I guess there's a third option here, is that you have the wait times, and which basically help you get around inside the parks. We used to use it all the time to create our trip plans beforehand, and basically we would take the map with us. We'd print them out, the map with all the different numbers of do this first, do this second. And to be honest with you, we tried it once on the We're Going to Walt Disney World podcast, where we did follow a plan for Magic Kingdom verbatim one day. We made it to about 9 of 15 steps. So up till then, it worked really well, and then something happened where it just wasn't going to happen. Other than that, we usually use the plans with little modifications, though.
So you guys haven't been back since they've updated the app. The app looks brand new. And one of the things – and now I've never used the actual touring plans. I always use the crowd calendar, and I base my days upon that, but I never tried to do an actual one of their touring plans. But what's cool in the app is that you can pick one of the touring plans, and if you modify it, like if you want to skip an attraction it has listed as next, it'll reorganize and tell you. It's kind of like like on Google Maps when you have directions and it recalculates. It'll do that for you.
Recalculating route.
Yep. So it will tell you, you can get a pretty good idea, but if you want to stop in the middle and eat lunch, you can put that in there and it's going to pick back up and tell you where to go, and it's going to reconfigure that for you.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Now, another great part of their website is, and there's two things. The first I'll talk about, which we're not going to deal with tonight, but it's really cool. They have the room from every window of every hotel room at Walt Disney World. They let their people walk through every hotel room and take a picture outside the window, and it gives you the idea of where you're going to be located, wherever you're going to stay. Not too important for the deluxe places, but for the value places that are so like out of control big, yeah, it definitely helps figure out where you are in property when you plan to stay somewhere.
Actually, I do have to say, I actually use that every time. It actually does help with the deluxe rooms. I stayed at Contemporary and stayed in the Garden Wing and used touring plans so to make sure I had, a water view because, you're a Contemporary. Why not get a water view?
Sure.
So I used touring plans to make sure I got a water view at Contemporary, and it was amazing.
Nice.
I did something similar a couple of years ago, and I was staying at Bay Lake Tower, and I had a lake view room, but some of the lake view rooms are kind of around the corner enough that they're still considered lake view, but you do get a pretty decent view of Magic Kingdom. So I requested a certain room, and I got the exact room I requested, and sure enough, you could sit on the balcony, even though it was considered lake view and not theme park view, which would be more. Mm-hmm. You could still sit on the balcony and watch the fireworks because it was close enough on that corner that you could get some, you could still see Magic Kingdom.
Nice.
Gotta love that.
Yeah, very cool. Now, you also have pictures of the rooms themselves, and they're pretty basic for the style that you're paying for. But for tonight, we're going to talk about the dining information they have. There is an entire page on dining they have for Walt Disney World, where they have all the restaurants listed for all the different places, the parks, the hotels, and they also have ratings. These ratings are so cool because when we used to listen to the WDW Today show, Len would run these shows maybe once a year when they got the new stats in. They basically take all the ratings and the, I guess they send a survey out, or how do they do the survey? Was it people had to go
so
online?
So if you go through the process of telling them where you're staying, when you're staying, you set up your trip within touring plans, and then you pick your days. They will, based on what you selected, send you a survey and ask you what your thoughts. But not only that, they take into account who you were traveling with? Did you have little kids? Did you have older kids? Was it just two adults? And what did you think of the different places they went? Then they'll categorize those and come up with some really interesting data that ends up in the unofficial guide, which is the book that gets published. But along those lines, it's also online for us to take a look at. So that's kind of cool that you found this, and we're going to talk about it there, Ed.
Right. And it's really cool because you can play around with the columns, so you could sort in different ways. And based on that, I was finding some really odd things. So I threw that idea out here. So we all took the opportunity to look at this a little ahead of time and come up with some categories we thought were a little bit just odder than normal. I know we could do the top 10 or top 5 table service restaurants of all the properties and talk about those great places. But let's talk about some of the weirder, some of the odder things that we found. So we're going to each take a turn and basically throw out a category that we came up with, and then kind of go ahead and discuss it. Are you guys up for that?
Sounds good to me.
I'm excited.
Okay.
Should we just start with the one that we're all thinking right away anyway?
Go for it.
We're thinking bars and lounges. I mean, I know I stole that right out of Jimmy, and Morgan's thinking about it, and so are you. So let's talk about what's listed there. What do you think?
Are we not supposed to think about bars and lounges?
No. I just thought, let's get the most obvious one out of the way.
Right. And I tell you what, I totally agree with this one because of the oddity of the top five. So go ahead, Sam. You lead us on this one.
Absolutely. So from a bars and lounge point of view, if you look at the current touringplans.com ratings, it's interesting that three of the top four bars and lounges in Walt Disney World are at Animal Kingdom. And the other two in the top five are at hotels, which was sort of interesting. So on the top side, Voyager's Lounge with the 97 much above average rating hotel bar. This I have not been able to visit. Has anybody visited Voyager's Lounge on the call?
This one's at the Riviera?
This is at the brand new Riviera.
Okay.
I haven't had a chance to.
Is this the one that's like with the real artsy everywhere type of setup? Is that the Riviera?
Oh. Absolutely. And I'm sure that has something to do with it. It's the new one. It's the great place to be. I have a feeling if I went there just to have a couple of drinks, I'm going to walk out of there and go, that place was awesome. It's brand new. I love it.
What's really interesting is when you rank them based upon the rating alone, Voyager's Lounge comes up first at 97.1%. But then if you look at the rating underneath that, it's listed as much above average, which actually puts it below. That rating would put it below the other ones that say exceptional.
So I guess we should probably explain, if you're looking at touringplans.com and you're looking at the ratings, you've got the number rating, which we're talking about, and right below it, it'll say much above average, exceptional, above average, average, and so on. So that's what we are talking about.
Well, yeah. I'm going with the number, though. That's easier to look at.
The bottom one says do not visit.
I know. It's great. Do not visit.
And I disagree with some of those, but I can see why it's like that.
And I'm sure we're going to hit a couple of those.
Just toward the top. That's a new one. Then after that, you got three in a row from Animal Kingdom, Nomad Lounge, Thirsty River Bar and Trek Snacks, and Dawa Bar. Nomad Lounge is, connected to the restaurant right on the bridge headed towards Pandora, and I'm completely blanking on the name of it.
Tiffin's.
It's a great lounge. I love hanging out outside of it because you can sort of kind of hear Pandora a little bit, but you can't.
Mm-hmm.
I love Nomad Lounge. Some great appetizers and snacks and food in there as well.
I know my friend Ian and his wife Michelle visit, and I've never been. I know they visit Nomad Lounge every trip. They definitely go stop in there and have a couple drinks.
It's just a stop, have a couple of drinks, and then continue on because they got nice, cushy, relaxing places to hang out, wonderful atmosphere, great things on the walls. It's worth just hanging out at Nomad Lounge.
Yep, and that was 96.9%.
Yeah, pretty darn high. And just under it, when you look at these numbers, is Thirsty River Bar and Trek Snacks, which we all said, okay, where is that? And then we realized we've all been there. Right. I know this as the bar that used to be the Fast Pass distribution at Expedition Everest. I think you guys know it that way, too.
Yeah, definitely. So now think about this. Nomad Lounge, you just discussed how comfortable it was and how relaxed it is and how you can just go in and relax. There are no chairs at the Thirsty River Bar in Trexnet.
No, not at all.
The same thing. So that rating of 96.4, exceptional, is based upon
drinks.
Yes. They have there, because they have some really good frozen drinks and stuff like that there. So that's based strictly on the drinks. And that's why normally when we dig into these conversations deeper, that you can't just look at the number, because as cool as that is and the drinks are, it's not the same. It'd be tough to compare that to Trader Sam's or Nomad Lounge.
Sure. It's above Trader Sam's. Definitely. But I think you're getting different things in different places. Although Trader Sam's, you're getting great drinks and you're getting really great kind of entertainment.
Well, that's my point, is that that's kind of like comparing apples and oranges, you know?
Yeah.
It could be great, but it's great for a different reason than Trader Sam's is great or Nomad Lounge is great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. How about the Dawa Bar? Have you guys been there and know where this one is?
Sure. That's right outside of, it's in Africa, right on the way to either the Lion King or to the Safari, right in the corner.
So it's in this. Oh, okay. I know which one it is.
I think, right?
Yeah. It's got a lot of outdoor.
That's a pretty big place back there.
Yeah, it's got all outdoor seating right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can hang out there, get a drink, listen to the musicians that are always playing in that square, that area, and right in front of all those stores on the way to the Safari.
Yep. Yeah, and you can hang out there instead of waiting in line for Legend of the Lion King.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. You can wait till they're done.
They also have what's the Animal Kingdom Lager? Is that what it is, Animal Kingdom Lager? Or whichever one?
No, it's a Safari.
Safari Amber. Safari Amber. On tap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On tap.
They also have the Safari Amber at Epcot at the
African
Refreshment African Port. Yeah.
The African Outpost, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Refreshment port. There you go.
Very nice. And then lastly is Trader Sam's on the top five.
Which is crazy because that's an incredible place.
Oh, it is an incredible place. And right under that, one of Lisa's favorites, the Scat Cats, right under it.
Which I love the Scat Cat Club.
The Scat Cat. Yeah.
Scat Cat has been remodeled in the past 3 years.
I went not this last year's meetup, but the meetup before I went, because they were actually doing a promotion for pass holders. You buy a drink at Scat Cat and they gave you beignets for free.
Oh, bonus.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Me and my friends went there because of that. And that's the first time I saw it remodeled. And I'm sitting there like, I need to come here like every trip. This is really just a cool place to hang out. There was live music playing and just relax, have a good drink. The bartender was awesome, and have beignets.
Me and Kim stayed at Port Orleans French Quarter a couple years ago, and we hung out a few times at Scat Cat, but that was before this remodel. And then about probably that same trip, me, Kim, Lisa, Sam, Ed, remember we all met up there? There was no music while we were there, but we all went there and hung
out. Food's darn good.
But this was before the remodel or after?
This was after the remodel.
Okay.
We just happened to pick a night that it was dark as far as music.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. But it was still cool to go hang out there. It's just a cool looking place. It does, like, where the stage and all is. Me being from New Orleans does kind of remind you of like a Bourbon Street, but extra clean.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
All right, we're going to the bottom of the list.
Well, I was going to say from this list. Oh yeah, sure. Let's go to the bottom of the list.
Go to the bottom, the very bottom. I don't know if I consider this a lounge, but it's the World Showcase Wine Walk, which is essentially where you purchase a package that gets you a glass of wine at three different countries. At least that's how it did work previously. Then you'd walk around and fill those up. So not very popular.
That sounds,
I've never even heard of it.
That sounds more like an experience than an actual place.
It does. It does to me. I've seen it before. I never did it because it kind of locks you into the wines. Versus just when you get to the next bar, you get whatever you feel like, whatever looks good, right?
You know, what really sticks out to me at close to the bottom of the list is Oga's Cantina.
Oga's, and I think it's got to do with size.
You can't
or weight.
If Oga, if that was true, then Trader Sam's would be below Oga's.
Right. Good point.
I think cost is part of that too.
How about you got to get out after one drink? Or you have to leave. Or you
yeah,
have
that's time limit. Yeah, that stinks too. Pressure. And a lot of these at the bottom are hotel bars, like the Leaping Horse Libations, which is at the Boardwalk. That's a great place if you're staying at the Boardwalk. I mean, it's
yeah.
The
well,
it's also the pool bar.
So yeah, it's the pool bar.
It's not even the main bar. So
right. Although one on here, I don't know if you guys have been to before. It's called Finn's. It's towards the bottom here, third to the bottom, fourth. That is the brand new lobby bar at the Dolphin. So the Dolphin, when you used to come in, there was really nothing in the center. Then with this last redo and remodel and everything they've done to make it a little more modern, they added a big bar in the center of it that's called Finn's. And to me, it's your convention bar. It's where you have a bunch of people hanging out after the convention because it's right at the entrance to the convention center. So it gets crowded. It gets rowdy. You got conventioneers. So that's why it falls to the bottom of a family vacation planning. The bar is great. They got some good things, but I don't know that I'd want to take kids there at night.
And I know I've heard of this bar because they do that like smoked drink. Like yes. It's actually encased and there's smoke in the all around it. And you have to open up and the door good. To pull the drink out or something.
Yes, it's good.
Okay,
it's,
yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah. They open it towards you and the smoke kind of hits you. It's a smoked bourbon something or other, but it's really, really interesting.
Nice. Yeah, but I mean, I would think the noise is probably why it's rated so low.
Right, because if I'm a family, happen to stay in the Dolphin, and I'm pushing a stroller through there, and there's a convention going on, I know we're a long way removed from that. It's loud.
Yeah.
Because you're eight people deep of conventioneers that have been working in boots all day that are now getting a drink at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Cool. By the way, just to throw the, you know, the idea about size away, the Gurgling Suitcase has an above average rating of 93%. I don't know if you guys have ever been there. It's the bar at Old Key West.
If there's
eight seats in the whole place.
Okay.
Me and Lisa had hung out there, and it's very, very small.
Right. Okay. Well, there you go. Okay. Yeah. I'm real quick.
You know what? Talk about interesting, by the way. Let me throw this at you, Ed. It is January the 21st, 2020, as we're recording. And we just passed at 9:21 and 21 seconds. The 21st second of the 21st minute of the 21st hour of the 21st day of the 21st year of the 21st century.
Wow.
It just happened. We were talking through it.
Nice. It was recorded.
Is that the coolest?
That is.
We recorded right through that. All those 21s. We got to play 21.
Can you say that again?
I got to go back and listen to that.
It is. Ready? All right. No. I'll say it again because it was the 21st second of the 21st minute of the 21st hour in the Eastern time zone, of the 21st day of the 21st year of the 21st century.
Holy cow.
You get to relive that in an hour, Jimmy.
Yeah, you get to relive it again, Jimmy.
True. It's coming around. Be here in a minute. Be here.
Make sure
you're set with your
21. 59 minutes. Oh, very cool. Okay, before we continue on real quick, for that one that was cool, we did top and bottom. I only want to do either top or bottom, because I want to make it random, and then if we ever do the show again, we're going to do like the bottom of that one, perhaps, and kind of keep on going on.
Yeah, I also saw that you could sort these and just do the parks versus doing the
everywhere.
Oh, yeah,
everywhere. No, it's incredible what you can do with this.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, so who wants to go next?
Well, Sam took my idea.
It was all of our ideas.
Well, that was Jimmy's idea then. We'll count that as a Jimmy idea.
Do you want me to
go
so you get some time to think up a new idea?
Yeah, what do you got, Morgan?
I can fly off. That's fine. Go ahead, Morgan, and I'll...
Collect your thoughts, you know. I went a little different. I went off of touring plans. Just because, you know, there's so much information, but sometimes you need a little bit something different. And a little known fact about me is I actually limit how much dairy I eat. I'm not officially lactose intolerant, but I'm probably am. Just haven't been to the doctor to do it. So I did a list of allergy-friendly snacks/places. Like cool. My top picks if somebody nice. Had an allergy, be it gluten or dairy, because those are the two that I've kind of dealt with.
Nice.
So okay. I went off the map here.
Yeah, no doubt. Definitely good to hear it, though.
So, first thing that I have, and a lot of people don't realize this, all the popcorn on property is dairy-free and also vegan.
Hmm.
Wait a minute.
Yep.
Where is popcorn not dairy-free or vegan.
The butter topping.
Butter is what I was thinking. Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, and they so just the regular popcorn there. Like, you can't go, you can't say the same about, like the caramel popcorn at Caramel Couchet.
Yeah. But, I mean, like you go to the popcorn machine at the movie theater up the street, that might not be dairy-free.
Gotcha. Yeah. The butter. Gotcha.
Yeah.
You know what? I think the the AMC theater here, I think the machines where you put the butter on actually say butter flavor topping or something like that. It's like, I don't think it's actual butter.
I don't need to know that.
Yeah, I know. Let's move on.
It's probably like margarine or something. You know, it's probably like...
I get it.
But it's just kind of cool. Like, that's one thing, because, like, I always have a popcorn bucket when I'm in the parks because of that. And, you know, I can, you know, fill it up on my way out, and I have the snack in my room as popcorn. Plus, I mean, it's just good popcorn. There's something about Disney popcorn that is just better than the popcorn at my house.
Amen.
Yep.
Know what it is? You want me to tell you what the secret
Main
is?
Main Street.
No, coconut oil.
You think?
Yeah. They tried to get away from coconut oil. Is actually not that great for you. So movie theaters years ago tried to get away from coconut oil, and their popcorn sales dropped like 40% because it doesn't give the same aroma and all as popcorn as coconut oil. So coconut oil is what gives it that aroma and the flavor.
That's interesting, because every time I cook with coconut oil, I taste like a hint of coconut, and I don't get that in the Disney popcorn.
No, you won't really taste the coconut oil. You don't taste the coconut and the popcorn, but that's what you use.
But yeah, so that's my little kind of like, oh, that's cool that it's dairy free, and also, which also means it's vegan. Yeah. Well, in this case, means it's vegan.
Right.
My other thing is all the pretzels on property are vegan, which means they are dairy free. Even the one in Germany.
Even the one in Germany. Very nice.
So those are my two kind of little like, yeah, that's cool. Now, obviously, you get the cheese and dip it in, you know, that's no longer dairy free.
Right. You're out of luck.
There's probably not a whole lot of dairy in that cheese dip they use.
Yeah.
Mostly processed. I'm sure it's mostly processed cheese. It's not real cheese.
Yeah. We won't go there. We don't want to know. Right. Ignorance is bliss.
That's delicious.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter to me.
And then, you know, we were talking about Scat Cat, the Saskalooga Floatworks. You can actually, I love the beignets. You can get gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, egg-free, and even vegan beignets. You have to request them. You know, it's not the ones that everybody gets. So you do have to say, I have an allergy and, you know, I need this kind.
You got to put that on a card. That's a big list.
I need to give you New Orleans intervention. You need to come here and try some real beignets.
I mean, I will happily take a lactate pill and try some real beignets, but it's nice to know that I have the option.
Sure.
When I'm at Disney. Yeah, and I've tasted the real beignets at Disney, and I've tasted the dairy-free and even the gluten-free. And they're not too far off that I feel like I'm missing something.
I can't believe, and maybe you just haven't mentioned it yet, but I can't believe you have not brought up the Blaze Pizza stuff.
That was on my list.
Okay. Because me and you
jumping ahead, Jimmy.
Mentioned before.
Yeah. So since Jimmy mentioned it, Blaze Pizza is on my list. And it was lower on my list because it's not something that's like specific to Disney. There, you know, are Blaze Pizzas all over the country. Yeah. But you can get a dairy-free pizza. You can get a pizza with a cauliflower crust. You can also get a keto crust, which is gluten-free. So if you're craving pizza and you have an allergy, Blaze Pizza at Disney Springs is one place you definitely got to check out while you're at Disney.
Especially if there's not one by you, even though it is a chain. If there's not one by you, check it out.
Yeah. Well, me and Jimmy were talking about this, and I have one up the street from my house, and I've never been until I tried one at Disney Springs.
Yeah, and like for me, we have one in New Orleans, but it's kind of like in the city, so I've never been there.
Yeah. We don't
City to go. It's like, so we ate there for the first time in November. Me and Kim ate there last night, and I thought Blaze Pizza was amazing.
Oh yeah, no, and the pizza is awesome. That's like the... I got a keto crust pizza, and it didn't taste like, because I've had like cauliflower crust pizzas, and I'm like, oh, I can't eat this. I could totally eat a Blaze pizza every day of the week.
Nice.
I wonder if they use coconut oil.
That's going to be our answer for everything now. Coconut oil. The magic ingredient.
No doubt. It's coconut oil.
So, since we're at Disney Springs, Aaron McKenna's Bakery at Disney Springs was also on my list.
This has been there a while, right? That's not new.
No, it's not new.
Aaron McKenna's for a long time.
Yeah, they specialize in allergen-free products.
It's all gluten-free and dairy-free, right?
All gluten-free, dairy-free, egg-free, vegan, and soy-free.
Yeah.
So basically,
sort of over by the boathouse, right?
Yeah, like if you're walking if you are facing the boathouse and you're kind of down like the little hallway, there's like the Havana's store, there's Chapeau store, and it's like right there.
Got it.
So if you have an allergy but you crave a sweet tooth, you know, you definitely want to check out Aaron McKenna's.
And if you don't have an allergy, go to Emirates.
Or go to both.
Go to both.
Or Sprinkles.
Yep. And
me and Kim did the Sprinkles Cupcake ATM when we were there in November. We had never done that before.
Oh, that's
we've walked by it, but we've never really done it, you know. So
and Sprinkles,
we did that on a live show a while ago. I remember joining in and doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sprinkles actually will have some allergy stuff, but depending on what Aaron McKenna's has, like basically they can't compete with each other. So if Aaron McKenna's has a, you know, vanilla cupcake that's allergy free, then Sprinkles is not going to have one. So
good stuff.
Right.
Might be worth checking out both.
Cool. Nice.
What
else you got?
And then I have a couple more, but I'll keep it at 5.
Okay.
Okay. One thing that I thought was interesting is when I ate at Ohana, everything on the menu is dairy-free except for the bread.
Wow.
So the noodles, the wings, like all this, the dumplings, all the stuff that we love is dairy-free.
Great.
Nice.
Like, I remember the chef, he came out and he's like, yeah, you just can't have the bread. And I can even bring you a special dessert, because I think the dessert was like ice cream with like a brownie with ice cream or something. And they had special ice cream. So I thought that was really cool because I didn't have to eat that much differently than my friends.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
I like how accommodating they are.
Yeah. And if you haven't, if you are worried about any kind of allergy, Disney is the one place that you should never have to worry about an allergy, because they, in my opinion, kind of go above and beyond to accommodate allergies.
Sure. When do you ever see the chef coming out to talk to you about it at any other restaurant?
Right. And actually, like, my friend who is gluten-free loves to go to 50s Primetime and get their fried chicken, because how many places can you go get fried chicken that's gluten-free? No. And, I mean, again, that's a special thing. You got to talk to the chef. The chef has to make it special. But still, you know.
Yeah.
But they get that. You know, the good thing is that people know that there they can request that type of stuff. So the chef is already, he might not have it ready, but he's prepared, knows exactly what he needs to do to make it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, right. The chefs are never, I feel like the chefs are never kind of like frazzled, like, okay, this person has such and such allergy. And actually, for table service, if you're making a reservation, you can actually put on the reservation that somebody in your party has whatever allergy it is, gluten, dairy, egg, nut, soy, whatever it is. So that's one perk of Disney, in my opinion.
Like it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And like I said, I have others on my list, but I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Well, that was a good list. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Okay, Jimmy, you ready or you want me to go?
I'm ready.
Okay, go for it. What do we got?
So I want to talk about the disrespect.
He's getting on the podium, folks. Sorry, I just had a
laugh. I want to talk about the disrespect and hurtfulness that why when you go to Touring Plans and you look at the food stand and carts and go to the bottom five, the bottom two are turkey leg carts.
I did notice that. That is so funny you noticed that. I totally saw that.
What the hell, man?
Disrespect in the turkey leg.
And they're two different parks, so it's not like it's a thing. I think the whole turkey leg thing might be just round its course because you know that smell. You know that smell when it's coming down toward you. Someone's got a turkey leg going.
When me and Kim were there earlier this month, we met one of our bloggers, Samantha, had come met us over at Epcot, and we were hanging out by my planter, which is right behind the turkey leg stand in America. And
the ice cream stand.
Stop it. she had mentioned that she had never had a turkey leg, so I immediately went and bought a turkey leg. And they thought it was great. Turkey legs are fantastic.
Yeah, it tastes nothing like turkey, just in case you're listening and you've never had one before. It's like, say it again?
I would say it tastes almost like ham.
Ham, totally. Now, yeah. How they make things, that show they have on the Science Channel, or how they make stuff, I forget the name of it. They showed how they made the turkey legs for Disney World. And boy, they brine the hell out of those things.
Oh, yeah. A lot of juices and yeah, they...
Sure. We've done it once. We did it once as a family just to try it, and yeah, it just never was something we didn't do again.
I feel Nick like it was all over those when he was younger.
But I feel like it's something you have to do at least once.
Sure, and that was the whole point behind it. We all took a turn at it.
But you tried to make them?
No. We had one at the park.
Oh, you just had one at the park.
Yeah. We just did it one time. We got the one, and actually, we didn't get it at either of these two places. We got it in Hollywood Studios at one of those places on Sunset. I think it was toward the end of the street on the left by Rock and Roller Coaster before the ice cream place. They had turkey legs there at one point.
And I'm wondering maybe if it's not just the turkey legs, that maybe some of these carts maybe only offer turkey legs. You know, that's interesting.
Well, Tomorrowland turkey leg cart, where is that one at? Do you remember? Oh, that's the, is it just the launching pad or is there actually a cart in Tomorrowland?
No, it's a cart.
I mean, there's a couple of carts in Tomorrowland. I'm wondering if because there's just, you've got launching pad right there. I feel like there is a popcorn cart around there somewhere.
I think, like I was talking about, you know, the place in America that, you know, like Sam said, it's the ice cream cart. Well, they also serve turkey legs. Well, they also have beer there. The Tomorrowland turkey cart has turkey legs, chips, and drinks. So maybe that's why they rate so low is because they don't really
offer. That's all they got, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah,
they don't have a lot of selection.
Right.
Well, then the next one down is the Future World East, which is the same thing. Turkey legs, chips, beverages.
Right.
That's it.
So that's all they have. So the selection is just the turkey leg. You got to really love it or else this ain't going to be nice. Don't
What's
visit.
What's interesting, though, is that it like, who's rating that?
I mean, it's got to be the survey that people get when they...
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. But, like, what makes it better? What makes it worse than...
The other ones?
If you went there, for a turkey leg, right?
I mean, I also kind of wonder, like, are they just in weird locations? Like, to me, when I think of a turkey leg, I think of a turkey leg at the stand in America at Epcot or in Adventureland in Magic Kingdom.
But I could see walking up to this place, finding out they only have turkey legs and being bummed out, and that's why I have a bad rating for it.
Yeah.
I wasted my time, you know.
Here's one that's tied with the turkey legs, the second turkey leg one, the Golden Oak Outpost ice cream cart. Like, sells ice cream and soda. How the hell can you give it a bad rating? Is the ice cream bad? I don't understand. It's the same ice cream they sell.
Maybe it's a specific type of, like, maybe they only have sandwiches and no Mickey bars or it's something specific. I don't know. Who knows? Yeah.
It is interesting, though, when you look at that.
Could be a location thing because I was just realizing that one of the bars that came up on the bottom over at Studios, the Sunshine Bar, whatever it's called, used to be the turkey leg cart. So maybe it's just a location thing.
Good point.
I mean, I definitely feel like it's a location thing, looking at what's on the bottom here.
It could be. Liberty Square corn dog cart. I mean, who the hell doesn't like corn dogs?
They're great.
I didn't know there was a corn
Disneyland,
dog cart.
But they're good.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a corn dog cart in Liberty Square.
Any food on a stick, I'm all in.
Current news. Did you see they closed the market in Liberty Square? They're going to be rebuilding it.
You know, they've been doing a lot of work in that area, so that doesn't surprise me. I think it was last year when we were there, they had that, all that.
They made the chairs so they don't move, right? One of the things they did. The tables.
They covered it, too. They had the bigger cover on it over that area. And they also have Hall of Presidents closed. That closed yesterday or the Wednesday?
Yesterday.
And
that's the opportunity they have to change that up. So hopefully they can use the opportunity to do some cool things.
Sure. And the river's closed. So they have the entire Liberty Square is going to town.
Other than Columbia Harbor House is not open. So other than Memento Mori and the Haunted Mansion, there's nothing in Liberty
Square. You're
just
cruising through it. Sure.
Be interesting to see what they're doing once it's all said and done.
I can tell you from being there a couple weeks ago and seeing what they were working on, and I shared some pictures and stuff and some video with you guys while I was there for the riverboat. It looks like they're replacing the whole track. It looks like brand new track.
Yeah,
but I was more meaning for the cart to see, like, are they going to put, like, more of a permanent, like, quick service setup there? Is it going to stay a cart?
That wasn't really a cart. That was like the market where you could go buy pickles or you could go buy fruit.
But I feel like it started as a cart and over the years it just got bigger.
Yeah, it did. I totally agree with that.
Well, they grilled the hot dogs there.
Yeah.
Right? Which was amazing, some of those. And I know people raved about the hot dogs off of that grill, and they only did it certain times a day. Maybe they're – and it was literally like a gas grill that you'd have in your backyard out there, Ryan. It wasn't all that big.
Right. Yeah, it's cool. I like those places that sell, like, the oranges and apples and bananas and pickles and kind of that type of stuff. Because there's one like that in Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
Right by the safari, right in front of the safari, that's a market like that.
Right.
It's beyond normal. Get some chips and soda. It's gives you a little bit more variety.
And don't get me wrong, I really like it because I like pickles. So it has nothing to do with the really healthy stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, but let's also be honest. Normally, you don't make it past Sleepy Hollow.
They took the fruit Nutella waffle off the cart, off the menu.
You can still ask for it, though. Bet you money they will give it to you.
Disgusting. Makes me very upset.
Okay. So we're moving on. And I tell you what, before I get to mine, I have a couple one-liners, meaning they're not top fives or bottom fives. They're just kind of interesting things I saw. And I'm going to ask you guys what they are. Don't look them up. Honor here. Okay. So what do you think the top table service? We're just talking about Epcot. The top table service at Epcot
is? Just Epcot.
Without
Spice Roads.
Le Cellier.
No, Le Cellier's gotten a bad rap here lately.
Really? Spice Roads.
Nope. Go ahead, Sam.
Hold on. Let me think this one through.
Why would it make my list? Think it through that way.
Because it's going to be super interesting. Are we back at... what's the Tudo Gusta?
Nope. The Garden
Nine Dragons?
The Garden Grill.
Ah.
Oh, it's hot garbage, by the way.
Has the top rating. And here's my theory. No,
What did you say was garbage, by the way?
It's erroneous. It's not that good.
The reason why I think it rated high is because the fare is not out of control. Well, the characters are definitely awesome top there, but what they feed you is normal to a lot of the people around the world.
It's good.
The country. So it's not too extravagant. It's not too out of control. Some of the ways they can get there. That's the only reason I could think it would be there. But anyway,
You get to go inside living with the land while you're scooting around. It's
that's the best part. You're moving around in the characters.
Well, I mean, look, so the idea that, you know, you're in, well, right now, I don't think it's turning, but, you know, the idea that the restaurant does turn, it's a carousel almost. You can see part of the ride from it. It's a character dining. I think all those things are cool. I ate there once. I was not impressed with the food.
Hmm.
think I might have eaten there as a kid, so I don't remember it, so I don't count it.
Right. No, I've never eaten there.
I like spice, so I found the food kind of bland.
And that's maybe what people like. And kind of funny, because the reason why I've never eaten there, I guess none of us have in my family, is because of that. I'd rather, if I'm going to Epcot, go extravagant, go different.
Yeah.
Okay, so best room service of the hotels. Any idea? What do you think?
Hot Century pizza delivery.
Yeah.
No, that's the best desperate food service. No, this is the best room service.
The best room service. I got to think it's something like a Grand Floridian or someplace like that.
You want to try, Morgan?
I'm thinking it's a value resort.
It's not.
Yacht and Beach Club.
No, Sam, you were close. You're close. Right across the lake. Contemporary.
Boardwalk.
Contemporary.
Contemporary, no. Got it.
I just figured it was one of those.
Yep. And now
Contemporary is not across the lake from Yacht Club.
I thought.
No, I said from the. He said the Grand Floridian.
Oh,
yeah. I was still guessing.
Sorry. Well, you can. Okay, let's move on to the values. Guess what the best rated value food court is?
Art of Animation.
Yeah, Art of Animation.
All Star Movie.
Ooh. What? Ba-dum-bum. They just redid that one, right?
I do like the food court there. Mm-hmm. Going back to.
Room service?
The room service. I wonder if the room service at the Contemporary, does that come from the Wave?
I don't know.
I could see that being.
Yeah, don't know.
No, that would be cool.
Good.
My other thought was, it's essentially a small. If you don't count Bay Lake, it's essentially a smaller hotel. So is the room service quicker?
I just looked at what Ed was talking about though, because I went to the rating and it says private dining at Contemporary and Bay Lake Tower.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it includes both. I'm wondering if that food comes from the Wave, which would make total sense because the food there is good. Really good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So a couple one-liners that kind of stood out. The list I'm going to go with, this that really caught my eye, and I hate to go with the negative side of it, but I don't understand it. And maybe once we get Len on, hopefully we can have him on and kind of go over this. It would be so awesome because I picked the worst counter services or quick services at Epcot. And I was just going through lists, and I wasn't planning on using this list. However, the worst counter service or quick service is the Lotus Blossom Cafe. That's the quick service in China. I'm sorry?
My kids would absolutely disagree with that. We do it every time.
We do it every time, too. That's the thing that stood out.
I could co-sign on that. I thought it was kind of mediocre. Going back to your idea earlier, though, Ed, I think that most people could get that at home.
Yeah, very good. Maybe that is it. I think the kids, they could get that at home. But again, for the kids at Epcot, they considered that something different because it's not a hamburger, but something that's really common because they, get, you know, we got Chinese food at home too. So maybe that is the psychology of why they liked it so much. It's safe food like that. But it is listed down here on the bottom. So, yeah, I totally understand maybe why that is the case. No, I don't. We go every time.
Epcot is a tough place for food ratings, man.
It is.
Yeah.
Because there's so much variety and so many to choose from.
Well, that's why I think it stands out, because there is so much variety. You kind of get a good, like, kind of idea what does or what doesn't. Maybe that is the case. There is so much that even these good places we like kind of fall through the cracks because no one's stopping here for it.
If me and my wife are in World Showcase and we're looking for a quick service, if you ask each one of us individually without talking to each other, like, we're probably going to pick two different places.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now toward the bottom of the list for these quick services was the Summerfest, which is the German quick service over there. I guess you can understand where Summerfest might fall through the cracks. Not even that, because you walk past Germany, you're smelling Summerfest. Smell the sauerkraut, and if you don't like that type of smell, you're staying far away to begin with.
Well, that's, I mean, my wife can't stand it. My wife doesn't like walking past Casey's because she doesn't like the smell of the sauerkraut.
Sure. It's either,
I put sauerkraut on the plate and I eat it.
Right, right. It's either or, you're all in or you're all out. So that one's kind of an odd one, but I kind of understand that one. But now the next one is another place we go almost every trip, Katsura Grill. That's that little restaurant that's in Japan that's up on the hill right above the koi pond.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I totally agree. I think there's such a variety, first of all, of what they have to offer between either sushi or teriyaki or udon.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
They have the boxes, right? The lunch box. Or was that on the kids' meal?
Boxes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, again, that also might go to the same with Lotus Blossom. Like, for some people, they can get that type of Japanese at home.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Not enough people get up there to get this rating up higher because it's kind of a little bit of a walk out of the way.
I mean, honestly, if you're just walking around, you don't realize that there's a restaurant up there. And I mean, I'm just like you guys, I go almost every single time up there because I just love Japanese food.
Mm-hmm.
But I can understand why these are lower comparatively.
To what? So what's on the high end? That's the question.
To all the high end ones. Cause I mean, it's just like what you were saying is,
I don't know what's on the high end.
Well, I mean, the very first one is La Halle Boulangerie Patisserie, which is in France.
Mm.
And I probably butchered that, but, you know, whatever. But everybody flocks there for breakfast. I mean, who doesn't want, you know, a nice warm croissant and, you know, just, you know, all this wonderful food that you can get? Like, there's always a line for breakfast.
Right, but even the rest of those tops are kind of out of control. And we're going to do this real quick. We won't go into it in depth, but Refreshment Port's next. Kringle Bakery is next. Yorkshire County Fish Shop is next. And the Refreshment Outpost. Is it the variety that you can get a lot of different things at those places that put them up on the top of the list? I don't know.
I believe Sunshine Seasons isn't.
No, that was actually sixth on the worst list, sixth or seventh going down on the worst list.
I don't get that. It's confusing to get food, but
well, Sunshine Seasons is kind of a confusing place to begin with, maybe, and that throws people off. And I don't know. That's again question for Len. The quick services at Epcot.
I feel like it's like what Jimmy was saying. Is there such variety in Epcot in general that even though the food is good, it might fall through the cracks because there's something else that might just be a little bit more unique, so it gets a little bit higher rating for people.
Maybe.
Because, looking at this list, there's no place at Epcot that I would not eat at and enjoy, and I would not give a bad rating to any of these quick services at Epcot.
What about Tangerine Cafe? Where is that one?
That's Morocco.
Morocco.
No, where is
it? And as Lucas would tell me, they don't sell tangerines, Dad.
Oh, it's 6th on the list. 6th on the top. It's much above average.
I like that one. That's a good one.
Sure. It's run differently now, though, isn't it? With Morocco.
Change, so it would be interesting. I haven't been there since the change, but.
Right. Okay.
Why go there when you can just go Spice Roads?
Spice Roads doesn't have a full menu anymore. They have starters and drinks. It's a lounge now.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
I never got there, though.
Tangerine might change. Okay, guys, so what do you think? Did we hit a restaurant you liked, or did you hit a place that you didn't agree with the rating? Let us know. Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @TheDisneyNerdsPodcast and Twitter @TheDisneyNerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.TheDisneyNerdsPodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 375. Thanks for listening. For Sam, Morgan, Jimmy, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Guaharini.
Have a magical night, Hakuna Matata.
Congaloosh!
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest
And, excuse me, I guess you can understand that. Hang on a second. Let me get that all out. I guess you
leave
can
leave that in, man.
That'll make the end of the show.